Alright. I'm not using the old phone that frankly had a lot better sound to it because it doesn't seem to matter how much I charge that thing. It can't seem to hold a charge anymore. So it's probably just as well that I bought this new one. I probably need to let this one discharge as fully as it can to give the battery a chance to get used to its capacity. Anyway, a little late, but it's kind of a nice morning. And I'm frustrated and upset with something that I thought was solved a long time ago, but apparently really wasn't. And because of the system that we have, a bad system, it slipped through the cracks, and now we're having to pay some money for the joy of you can blame it on autism, you can blame it on whatever, on the circumstance. Let's call it that. Let's call it the circumstance because I don't, you know. To a certain extent, my family is always going to need a little bit extra help. Nice people, good-natured people, but needing a little bit of help. And maybe, you know, I seem to recall there were several reasons for moving to Shetland. You know, moving to a place that takes, that's a little more settled, seeing that strange because the thing that I'm doing now is actually going to the extent of trying to make it a little less settled, you know. Working against my own better nature. And I think it was to, you know, places and circumstances that you might fall into a little, you know, safer for people like us, like my family. So It's really a little thing. It's a matter of about $90. But because of our circumstances, it's $90 we really don't have. You know, I don't have a war chest somewhere to handle just not being very strident. But it's also a question of, people like me have to be as strident as we are. And people say, God, you're so upset. There's so many things you won't do. And you go, but yeah, I can't trust myself. And you can call that being disciplined. I don't. I call that being borderline psychotic. not being able to make really informed choices, more of just, I don't get involved in those things. And they go, oh no, it's a really great deal, you know? As long as you're careful, you should be okay. And you go, no, it's just, careful things are bad for me. You know, there's tricks you can play. It's mostly marketing. You know, they entice you to enter into a contract. You know, hey, we'll give you this, and this for free if you promise that over the course of the next year you'll buy 4 more things from us. You know, things like that. You know, Columbia Record Club, some of those book clubs, you know. And they're tricks. They're just simply tricks. And they're made to prey upon people's absent-mindedness, upon the fact that, you know, you don't keep track of these things and people don't keep copious records of stuff. And they make their cancellation system difficult enough that most people don't even bother, you know, canceling them. People with lots of money don't even think about it. Bill comes in, they pay it. You know, there's so many scams that they're based upon rich people just paying whatever comes in the mail that appears like a bill. And, you know, it's part of a business plan. They kind of behave that way on purpose, you know. It's set up that way to basically prey upon prey upon human nature. And not the positive side, the sides that make you an easy mark. And the only way to avoid it is just to avoid it, which is what I tend to do. And yeah, does that mean I pass up on lots of opportunities? Yes. You know, on most sites on the internet, there is a whole, it's predictable. It's on the right side. Google AdSense used to go there. Now it's all changed, and now it's, I don't know what it's called. Now I looked it up one day, but I don't remember. What used to be just text, because that's what Google kind of prided itself on, was the fact that it was a clean interface and wasn't just eye candy, busy, busy, busy. Like Yahoo or MSN. Attracted a certain clientele. Now they're kind of getting to the eye candy stuff. And, I got some of my blog at Quixen, Quixen.blogspot.com. You know, and I have learned to just turn that stuff off. The top of every Google search and on the right side of every Google search is paid placement or simple targeted advertising. And I just ignore all that. In fact, even when it points to something that I really want, or that I'm searching for, I'll go down a little bit till I get past the sponsored stuff. Luckily, Google still puts a very faint colored border around the paid placement stuff. You can still, it's still set apart from the normal search results. And I just by nature ignore everything on the right side and only pay attention to the actual results as opposed to the placement. That's why I like National Public Radio better, is just because it's ad-free. Although I've gotten away from that, I rarely listen to it. Listen to the BBC. I know at some point soon I'm going to be contributing to that as a resident of Shetland. I hope. It's hard to know what you're even supposed to be hoping for anymore, but like a, I don't know, like a fool, I suppose, I continue to be persistent at trying to accomplish something. And I think it ultimately, the persistence will pay off. I just hope it didn't end up being kind of a stupid, autistic obsession that just basically causes more problems than it fixes. Although I can't think that working diligently on my essaying, that's a different thing, writing of essays and stuff like that isn't going to ultimately profit me. Ultimately make it so I can do what needs to be done. Anyway, I apologize. Well, I don't know. I've got the mic gain turned off. That's what this, well, no, not mic gain. This has echo cancellation taken off. So we'll see if that somehow improves the sound quality. Boy, the sound quality on the other recordings is just excellent. At 8kbps, it's just, it's stunning. It's stunning how good it is. And it's really tempting to rig up some AA batteries to power that old phone, you know, strap it together with duct tape and continue to use it for the recordings because it does such a wonderful job. Rig something so I can power it USB wise. That would be pretty excellent. I wonder if three, and these guys with 5 volts, I think you can get that from four AA batteries. First off, you charge them all the time. So that's part of fun. That's part of fun. Maybe we'll rig up some kind of system like that. Anyway, so we'll just see, you know. I have to remember what God has promised me and what He has not. you know? Comfort, contentment. Oh, good luck with contentment. I always do work against my own personal best interest. I really do. You know, if my book is successful at making changes in Shetland, Shetland will be less of what I personally probably need it to be for me. And that, you know, it didn't say where I was going to have my comfort and contentment. I don't know where that's going to be. You know, I've always said that I'm trying to have an America that I personally don't want to live in, you know? So, you know, because I say, well, I want America to be America, land of the free, home of the brave, blah, 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 you know, liberty. Stuff like that. But that, I'm not gonna hang out there. I need more of a support system than that. Except that, I've got problems. And I don't often work in my best interest. In fact, I think commonly I don't. You know, I'm more interested in what's right for the group as opposed to what's right for me. And so, you know, maybe Robert Williamson is right. Maybe I'm just here I was thinking of all the wonderful things I could contribute to Shetland, and his take was mostly that Shetland would have been good for us. It's like, he's probably more on the right track, you know? It was more going to be, what can Shetland do for us? And I would always feel beholden to the place and the people for their kindnesses toward me. And that's great. You know, not a problem. Well, you know, I think it's genetically built into me that I can't be terribly prideful. For the simple reason that there's very little to be proud about. So, you know, I'm going to constantly be worked over. You know, I don't like the idea of being constrained, but I probably, to some extent, need to be. Or I need to have some other filter, you know, there needs to be some kind of editor or publisher or something that cleans me up, you know. He says, Jay, you're going to destroy your career with this. And you go, you think so? And you go, yeah. I said, so put it on your website if you really have to. And you go, but you're not going to publish it here. It's like, oh, all right. Anyway, so there's that. Might be a day to work on the Zenith concept. thing, which is trying to turn what would normally be considered by humanity to be something of a negative into something positive, to say that people like me, people like my children, have some value. You know, it's too easy to say, oh, you know, to mark off a handicap checkbox and have people just say, well, there it is, you know, handicapped, you know, drain on society, you know, we all have to work harder to support those people. And that you go, you know, we have something to offer. We have something to offer in whatever ways we have, that we can offer that thing. It may not have great fiscal value, you know, it may not. We may not be rich monetarily, but I think, or I hope on some level, we can contribute to a sort of I don't know, cultural, artistic richness. I hope mine will be at least halfway intellectually stimulating. Not that people will follow, will do the things I suggest, but that it may be fodder for something else. Listening to Barack Obama, he'd given talks about, you know, the fact that he really wants tighter gun controls and how he justifies it and how he's talking about that the other side claims that there will be some kind of a tyrannical, you know, loss of a liberty coming from this. And I said, yes, you're absolutely right. There will be. He says, you are playing it as, you're going to see after we do this, no particular loss of liberty. And you go, but you're playing to your moment. He says, I don't know if you're bidding to be the tyrant or if you're just opening the door wider for the coming tyrant, you know, for the one that will follow you. It says, and you don't seem to care. You don't seem to care about that. You don't really care about the children. You don't really care about any of that. You're playing for political advantage. It says that it's tiresome. It's tiresome, and you're a smaller person for it. But you'll never see that because among you and your friends and those people that you run around with, you are the bee's knees. You are godlike. And that's what floats your boat. You think you're saving humanity. And I can't even get down to respectfully disagreeing. I just disagree. I think you're a short-sighted fool. And everybody that's with you forms a club of short-sighted fools that really don't care because you're going to be dead. And that you really don't care much about your children. Who, I'm sorry, after you stop being president, this is... they have to go back to lives of not very much at all, you know, being basically kind of quasi-middle class. And you will leave them with a much more constrained, much darker, much sadder little world. And you know what? I live with that every day. Being what I am in the life I have to lead to make it so that, you know, I'm not a burden on others. Being grateful for what I'm able to do for money, even though it's still kind of living hand to mouth, and not being able to give my children any opportunities. This is, I do it by choice so that others might have a more pleasant and convenient life. It says, you are forcing it on other people. It says, and that makes you villainous. Villainous. And you can think of how great this will make you in the history books. This is the man that accomplished this and accomplished that and made this happen and made that happen. But I side with the people who say, you're destroying America. You're destroying America. The principles upon which it was founded. And there it is. He's good. He's good at the talk. I call him Silky Milk Chocolate for a reason. He's got a good combination of attributes that make everybody who disputes what he says sound like pricks. To coin the word, I could come up with a better one for it. And in my book, he is one of the great pillars of the coming tyranny. One of the great destroyers of America. And that's sad. And that's sad. Because, you know what? I'm sure he really believes that what he's doing is better. I really think he believes that he really is helping people. And that is just stunning. Because it's so short-sighted. It's so... It's almost like, why are we bothered sending you to school again? Either you are the most cunning man and your purpose is for evil, and I don't respect it, but I can see it. Either that, or you're the world's biggest fool. And that's just sad. Just utterly, utterly sad. I can't, you know, either way I can't respect it. You know, you've been duped. They have to put other mechanisms together to help people. Doing it through government is wrong. Doing it that way is inappropriate because it can't be monitored. It can't be regulated. It can't, you know, saying it's okay, the government will watch over itself. That doesn't work. It rarely works. And we have a populace that expects to be free, and they expect not to have to worry about these things. The government isn't going to be doing things to them when government is the prime instrument for doing things to people. Good or bad? Mostly bad. Always turns kind of sloppy on you. That help must be administered one-to-one as much as possible. That blanket help is often wrong-headed, often doesn't assist anybody, and gets you in the circumstances that you can't do. Democrats are wonderful at spending money they don't have and kicking that can down the road. So this is already happening. Once they won the whole fight about what was called the fiscal cliff, you know, and everybody said, well, as you get more taxes, we require you to be more fiscally responsible and cut back on programs, something upon which he campaigned. But everybody knew it was simply rhetoric, that he had no intention of doing that. And when he talks about how much he cares about the children and stuff like that, you know, because isolated pockets, you know, isolated psychotics, sick people, shoot up a school, an isolated case. These things are isolated. When was the last time this happened? And you go, it made the national news. It was in Aurora, Colorado. That was the last time this happened. How many years ago was that? 5, 6, maybe even 10. And you go, see how isolated this is? This is, but you would sell the entire world, the entire nation down the river based on a rare occurrence. Oh, but we don't want one child to die. And you go, nobody can afford that. Nobody can afford it. But you guys will keep playing like we can. And I'm not going to give the Republicans a pass either. Republicans are no better. They play the same game because they know it's a political winner. You know, they'll talk up big, being fiscally responsible, reducing government, and then they won't do it. To the point to where nobody trusts either one of them. But people have more trust in the Democrats because at least, you know, at least they keep rolling out that money. The checks keep coming for them. Foolishness. Foolishness. Foolishness breeds the kind of dependency that makes people contemptible. I find, I'm sorry. See, and I fight against stuff that profits me. My son Matt gets, you know, nearly $700 a month from the government. Because he's incompetent to do anything else, you know. And that's part of my personal economy. And I want the day when I don't have to take that. And we're working on it. And I struggle with it because all the promises that God's given me, they really haven't, you know, and I don't want to be rude about the blessings I've already received, but, you know, they're not good enough. Is that it? I apologize, Father. But, you know, it just isn't cutting the mustard. I know I've been promised more. The whole point, that's what I think Elder Bednar was talking about, being persistent and patient. And I have to be patient about the Lord's blessings. And that He's going to take care of me. And I don't want to be ungrateful, but I know I sound ungrateful. You know, and I'm sorry. Doesn't matter how many times I read my patriarchal blessing and try to say, okay, Jay, you've received these things. You know, shut up, be grateful, learn how to be content. You know, you're comfortable. And you go, no, I'm not. And I said, I'm drifting further and further into debt. For me, guys, it's already ascetic. The only solution that stands now is to be more ascetic. You know, and people are saying, oh, you're taking this way too far, Jay. You need to relax. And you go, can't relax. Can't relax for a minute. Which is because any time I relax, things start going badly. And you go, can't do it. Got to tighten up even more. Says, I've got to ride that road so tight, so hard, that I can't have, you know, I can't have much fun at all. So when I say comfortable, content, and happy, and whatever else, I just kind of laugh at them. And you go, not in my world. He says, maybe someday, because it's been promised to me at some point, but, you know, half of that may have to come in the afterlife. You know. And I have to ignore talks where it says, you need to relax, you need to enjoy every day because this is, you know, enjoy the journey. And you go, I can't enjoy the journey. It says, I've got to be vigilant like a freaking hawk. And you go, you know, the advice given generally to people, don't even talk to me about that. Don't even talk to me about such things. Says my greatest desire is to get more distance from things. I am constrained and compelled not to. My children live with me. They need to work. They need jobs. I have to stay in town. I can't afford to have extra cars shuttling back and forth between some distant location and jobs. There are no resources to set up people, you know, separate households. There's just no resources for it. You know, and so there it is. At least for now, you know. Hopefully over time, and you have to understand with autistics, it's more time. It ends up being, you know, where people say, oh, my kids are pretty good by 20, 22, you know. Gotten ahead, already starting their careers, or whatever it is they're going to be doing. Well, I don't have that. And I can't encourage it particularly. Because we're going to be kind of a group for the interim, with me being the linchpin of the whole thing. You know. And there's no point, you know, and I often just have to turn off the dreaming. Or the saying, yeah, I'd really like to have that. I can't, you know, and when people talk about agency and you can do what you want, I laugh at them. I said, I spent up my agency when I came to this planet. Apparently, whatever choice I had was made way back there. And I said, I don't have a lot of choices. I said, and you've seen where this stuff goes when I try to do things and get slapped down. And you go, that's fine. But I asked God to do that. So I respect it. But it's difficult. And so I don't want to hear it. Okay? Don't give me that crap. Don't give me that crap about happiness either. So you live your life and let me live mine, okay? I got plenty of crap to deal with. And, God bless you for the wonders of your life. You know, enjoy it, please. It's heartening that many people have an enjoyable life. I live my life so that people like you can enjoy yours. So that we don't inconvenience you. I'll continue doing what I do for my weird, tortured, obsessive reasons. And in so far that I do it, so that either somebody else doesn't have to, or in saying that I can serve other people, that gives me satisfaction and what joy I can muster from this life. I want my children to do amazing things, but I do understand that there's probably, most likely, going to be an incredible price to pay for that, and that price will most likely have to be paid for through my sacrifice. And that's fine. But don't give me crap about it. Don't sit there and tell me you need to smile and buck up. Shut up. Please go on about your happy life. Leave me alone. Tortured soul? Absolutely. Tortured in the service of God. I try to do His will. And my only hope is that ultimately, who knows what ultimately means, that He's kind. and that my sentence here continues unabated. It's all for my good. It's all for my good. Not just for the people, it's for my good. As he wishes. As he wishes. You know, sorry. I'm a sick person. And there is no remedy. I'll continue to do God's work, but I have no choice. I am an instrument. And I will be used as an instrument, no matter what my personal feelings are on the matter. So, there it is. You know, I said, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's go forward. Anyway, so that's all you have to say about the whole matter. It's just da 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 da. Who cares? Get back to work, Jay. You know. Lots of tortured souls. Blah blah blah. Who cares? It seems like it's getting lighter, but I started out a little bit late today. So, getting off the subject of the other things, because it's a pointless thing to talk about. Talk about something else instead. Still a little bit of snow on the north side of things. Although, this weekend, we're supposed to get up into the 50s, which is pleasant and nice. And might melt off a little bit more of the snow, although most of it's going away just by sublimation, which is totally worthless for us, as far as I'm aware. If it doesn't soak into the ground, what good is it? You know. Well, anyway. Life is what it is. You just have to accept what it gives you. And, I'm always gratified on some, not gratified, I'm always happy to see that other people are able to move on, you know, move to better circumstances, hopefully get into better places, and looking here at the house of a man that I've spent some time with. This is Michael Gonzalez, good guy. We're always trying to get him into a certain circumstance. He joined the LDS Church, trying to get him into circumstances that make his family life better, make his circumstances better, ability to get ahead and take care of his family. I remember he was working, I just passed right by his abandoned house, which is sad, you know. It looks like he spent time. I remember him showing me the bathroom that he was working on. Really nice. He had really found some nice material. And he was doing all that. There's a for rent sign here, but he's been gone for months. And And I don't think anybody's shown any interest in the house. It's kind of an odd house. The front door opens right onto the kitchen, which is more like the kind of house Lisa would want to have. I don't even know if Michael ever owned the house. You know, it's really hard to know if people own a place or if they don't. If they're even doing work on it, sometimes it's work in trade for rent. So for all I know, it belongs to somebody else entirely different that he was simply renting. But, you know, I hope he's moved off to better circumstances, like I said. And it's always gratifying to see people do that, you know. Don't hang around here. This place is going nowhere. You know, don't... I understand people who make their plans to, you know, I'm going to go to school and learn how to be a teacher so I can come back to Tucumcari and do that, you know. I said, that's the plan of about a third of people, you know. Now they all say, oh no, getting a degree in education is always an excellent thing to do, you know, because you can always have a job. And I guess from that standpoint, it might be so. But I just know that there's a whole crapper load. I mean, you know, every town has potentially thousands of people who've been trained to be educators and teachers and don't do that for one reason or another. And it's not always for bad reasons, you know. You get married and one spouse has better prospects than the other, and you go after that, and sometimes your stuff just stays kind of, you know, it doesn't really get used. I can't say much. I have a degree in home economics, and frankly, I don't, I guess you could say that I use it in my writing, but it would be a stretch. People would say, how do you translate that? And you go, well, you know, home economics is a very expansive field. And you go, only if you say that it is a proper degree for mothers. And you go, well, that's kind of where it came from. I don't know. It came from a whole attitude that farming needed to be done by educated people. Therefore, homemaking is done by educated people. It's kind of the extension of extension, you know. And to a degree, it's a little silly. Farming and ranching and things of that ilk are, you know, it's basically on-the-job training. And as it becomes far more corporatized, you know, worse and worse that way. I think the home economics really plays into the whole idea that I have that the bulk of governance actually takes place in the family. And that sort of governance can't be taken on any level by any other entity, no matter how hard they want it to. You know, it just can't be done well. It's always going to be problematic. It's always going to have huge problems. It's always going to do the wrong thing because some entity needs to be more caring than a big, generalized, politicized government is. That's why when I came up here on these talks with the family opt out, that basically families should not be taxed. That people shouldn't be taxed as people, you know, the very existence, you breathe the air and you walk the earth, shouldn't be taxed. You know, taxation should come off of the bottom of larger scale commerce, especially since larger scale commerce is taking over the world, and right now it has special tax advantages. And it says, you know, give government something to do, but it really can't touch the family. You know, if there's a family business, if it's being it's being conducted out of the home, and it can be conducted out of the home. You know, you don't have to put any restrictions on that. If it's being if it's an enterprise entered into strictly by the family, you know, one, two, maybe three outside of the family employees, you might be tolerated to help run a family business. Knowing that these businesses only last according to the needs of the family. And that if they get any bigger than that, you can treat them like a business, you can tax them like a business, you know, as commerce, as opposed to the kind of you know, doing work that's supposed to support the family. You know, nothing should get in the way of a family's right to support itself. To provide for its own needs. And that nothing should be done to curtail that ability. So yeah, you know. And it's doable under the current regimes of most countries, I think. You know, you just simply have to enact a family opt-out. Families can always say that doesn't apply to me. Anything that wants to invade the family, like compulsory school laws, they must go away. Well, not well, you know. They simply have a thing that says families can choose to opt out, and you can't specify what's an accessible circumstance when that opt-out can be done. They can simply opt out. And you can't force them to do it. You know, no means of compulsion can be used on family. Under any circumstances, you know, you can't sit there and say, well, families need to have the ability to do this, and this. And then government comes and says, well, we define this like this, therefore we can invade the family this way, and we can make a family do this, and do this, and do this, and we can do this, and this, and this. You know, it just has to say the sanctity, and I guess it needs to be almost done that way. The sanctity of family is absolute. And no instrumentality of government or force or compulsion can supersede the family. And the smart government will say, you know what, we're not going to tax. We're not going to tax families, period. You know? businesses. If you go into business, if you form a corporation, if you have a partnership, you know, if it's something extra family, or if it, or if it requires more resources than that family has, then that's kind of the way it goes, you know. You can't tax that thing. You can't tax the family activity. You can tax their, you know, you have full freedom to tax anything else. They are mostly government creations anyway. Things that allow certain things to go on. And it's no way thing that we should stop doing these. Well, no, I have said sometimes I think corporations should be gotten rid of. And that when we say that corporations are people, and we start anthropomorphizing them, that becomes problematic. But that needs to be handled by some other way of doing that. Under this, you can't do that. Well, no, I guess you can. Individual people, we can't handle it any other way, you know. And people say, well, you know, people have a right to house themselves as they see fit, to, or as their genius allows. Because you really need to make sure that it doesn't call into some kind of weird, you know, we tax everybody so that everybody can have a two-story house with five rooms. And you go, no. You know, families want to come together and try to come up with some way to make this kind of stuff happen. That's between families. Because the government has no right to interfere or get in the way of it. You know, they want to have a compound, gun turrets at the top to protect them from some perceived fear that you can't see. As long as it doesn't infringe upon the rights of other people to do those things, I don't see a problem. You know, obviously killing somebody is impugning on their rights, especially if it's their property, you know. It's my property, do what I want with it. Ah, but you're not affording me the same thing. Anyway, so. And one can't sit there and define what's proper for an individual family. You know, your house is too big. Beyond this certain amount, we don't call that family, we call it something else. And you go, I don't think you can actually do that. Now, insofar as it's extra family, you know, you need to be careful about the definition of family, you know. I like the natural family myself. Anyway, so here we are. We'll have to listen to how this thing sounds.